November 24th, 2013, afternoon service. Today we are going to review Psalm 34, a psalm of David when he pretended madness before Abimelech, who drove him away and he departed. Do you know the background of this psalm? It is explained in 1 Samuel chapter 21. This is the story in which David pretended to be a madman, drooling all over and scratching the gate, because if they find out who he really was, he could have been killed, but he was delivered by God's hand. Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear of it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and he delivered me from all my fears. David said this after his life was spared by God's hand. King Saul was after David's life and was sending out troops of 3,000 men, and David's life was in danger. But he miraculously escaped. David didn't kill King Saul, but God led Saul into a battlefield in which he died. David's faith can be read in Samuel and other parts, but most can be seen in Psalms. He was always humble before God, and God always responded. Saul was jealous of David, and he tried to kill David. And David refused to kill Saul even when he had a chance, saying that he could not lay hands on someone who was anointed by God. And the final victory was not delivered to Saul, who had a large troop, but to David. This is something we have to learn as we enter into this tribulation era. We need to know that the way David walked is acceptable way to God. Staying low and humble is acceptable way to God. David did not lose life in the battle, but he lived till his natural age. We too have many tribulations in life, especially if you try to pursue a holy life as a Christian. We have to go through many circumstances that we did not ask for, but as David says, I sought the Lord and he heard me. This is the truth. I myself had experience where my life was in danger, and I also had some less serious matters, and I also had my share of uncomfortable situations too, like being kicked out of my previous church. But if I pursued this teaching, I would have been sent to Kyushu, which is far away. But now that I look back, God delivered me from all the troubles that I had, and everything happened in a way that was the most beneficial to me. From verse 5, they looked to him and were radiant, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried out, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Although I have never seen angels, I believe it is true that angel encamps all around those who fear him. When you look at David, you see that he was rescued miraculously, like when he was hiding in the cave and Saul almost came into the same cave to look for him. Saul also came into the same cave to look for him. From the verse 8, O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in him. O fear the Lord, you his saints. There is no want to those who fear him. The young lion lack and suffer hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. This good thing is not only about money and good food. I think this is more about spiritual blessings. I do think it is true that we do not lack any good things because we fear the Lord. We believe we receive so much blessings and so much revelations that we are now able to teach others, and we are sharing the knowledge by issuing newsletters. Verse 11, "Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days that he may see good?" We went over this in the morning service when we read the 1 Timothy. I think this life means the promise of this life as well as the eternal life by having godliness. Godly people do watch their mouth. As the next verse says, "Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit." When I was going to another church, I had someone who was several years senior than me, and he used to take me out for drinks and meals after the service. And he was always complaining about people. Now I look back, this is not a way Christians should use our mouth. Even if you want to participate in the conversation, you discipline yourself not to do so. Even if you want to agree with others, you do not do it because it would encourage them to speak more ill words. That's training yourself in godliness. And there are many Christians who are speaking deceit too. So do not trust everything that has been said in the name of Christianity. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against those who do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. So in short, God's eyes are on the righteous and godly people. Their current lives and eternal lives are guaranteed. Paul was so sure about that. In his time, the only Bible he had was the Old Testament, so I am sure that he read the Psalms and other parts, and he was sure that the godliness was the only sure thing that could bring God's promises into his life. Unfortunately, we only see things with human eyes. That's why we become prideful or we try to make ourselves look stronger and bigger than our true self. But whether it is a popular way to live or not, we want to go by the book, and we are to stay low and humble. Verse 17, "The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to those who have a broken heart and saves such as have a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all." Here I say again that many are the afflictions of the righteous. As I live as a Christian for a long time, I cannot agree with this passage more. When you live a righteous life, you also attract all kinds of attacks. Jesus is the best example. If he didn't do anything, no healing, no preaching, and stayed to be a carpenter all his life, he would have never had to suffer on the cross. But Jesus followed God's will. Jesus went to Jerusalem and called Pharisees and scribes that they were brutal vipers. He told them that they were going to Gehenna, and they were also sending other converts to Gehenna. He was right for saying so because he didn't want people to perish in hell. But Pharisees and scribes plotted to kill him, and everywhere he went, he spoke the right thing and it made Jews mad. And that was God's will. And here at our church too, when we tell people the revelations we received, people get mad. And they call us to complain, and I'm not trying to get their money or anything. I'm only doing what I was assigned to do. But people attack us, so I don't answer the call anymore. I let the voicemail take the message. So I'm thinking that if people get offended, I am saying the right thing. If we keep speaking and no one gets offended, I don't know the effectiveness of the message. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. It is so true. Even for the book publishing, if it was not the book of that topic, I think it would have been much easier to publish. Yes, I do believe that Satan is attacking us to prevent the work, but the word of the Bible is also true, and he also delivers us out of them all. Verse 20. He guards all his bones. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous shall be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who trust in him shall be condemned. It says, the Lord redeems the soul of his servants. We have to be his servant for our life to be redeemed by God. This redemption is related to the story of 10,000 talents. The Lord forgave the debt of 10,000 talents of his servant. This is like $7 billion in current money. This is not something we could pay back in our lifetime. That's the wage of our sins. So I believe each of us all have that amount of debt, and God redeems all that amount for every one of us. Servant or serving is not an easy job. It's not an easy job. I sometimes go to this place in Kunitachi where they all wear the white uniform and serve the guests with food and drinks, and the many guests there behave like they're someone greater, and the workers run around carrying heavy food and heavy things. Serving others is not an easy job. We are not the guest in the church. We are to be the servant. Then our life will be redeemed. Bible does not say that the redemption is for everyone. The Bible says the redemption is for the servant. That's why all of us here are serving here at the Remnant Church.